In older women, I believe the jury is out regarding the potential benefits of chemotherapy. And I think there are two components to that. One is whether or not, for some mysterious reason, chemotherapy doesn't work as well in older women as it does in younger women. And the second is whether or not the toxicities are greater in older women, and therefore the benefit toxicity ratio gets smaller. And third, if you really take it to its extreme, we didn't put this in the editorial, we actually did and took it out, but whether or not you could begin to say perhaps the number of life years saved is going to be shorter in an older woman, and therefore it's not economically acceptable. But we decided that we didn't have the expertise to really get to that between myself and Dr. Schott, so we didn't address it. But I think it's a concern, which is that an 80-year-old woman, granted, still has another 10 years to go, but the number of life years saved for her is going to be less than a 50-year-old woman for the same potential reduction in recurrences.
And I guess this is where Adjuvant Online comes in.
Adjuvant Online begins to build this in. Peter Ravden has begun to build that into Adjuvant Online. It's not something we normally talk to patients very much about, but I think it is part of the equation, and so it needs to be built in. I'm actually a great fan of Adjuvant Online for several reasons. One is that Peter has worked very hard on validating it in data sets that aren't his own. And I always respect the fact that, you know, he gave it to somebody else and then stepped back and it worked in the Vancouver data set. So I think the implication is that it's pretty accurate. Two is, I believe it's been more accepted in breast than in the other malignancies because I believe we've been farther ahead than the other malignancies in terms of both effective therapies in the adjuvant setting, but also therapies that are targeted. And so we talk a lot about targeted therapy being new stuff. It's not. Neil, you and I have talked about this in the past. Breast cancer doctors started using targeted therapy in the 1890s when we started removing ovaries from premenopausal women. So the fact that we've had the luxury of knowing a target and being able to select therapies or not based on the presence or absence of that target, that is the estrogen receptor, has meant that we have to have these kinds of equations built in, that we can identify a patient's overall risk in the absence of any therapy, and then we can begin to build in the absolute benefit based on the proportional reduction of that absolute risk for both hormone therapy and then ultimately for chemotherapy. And that's something the lung cancer doctors just don't have the luxury of doing. They've hardly had anything that worked. And even now, the therapies they have that work in the adjuvant setting are not terribly targeted. Peter just keeps making this better, I think, every year. And so one of the things he's done now is not just build in the somatic issues related to the primary cancer, whether it expresses ER and PR and how likely the therapy is going to work, but also the, if you will, germline issues related to the patient. And that is, of course, as we get older, we have competing mortalities. So that if I have a 20% risk of recurrence in the next 10 years and I reduce that by 50%, that means there's a 10% absolute benefit. But if I have a 50% chance of dying of something else, that 10% benefit gets cut in half and I only have a 5% benefit. And this gets to other work that Peter's done, and that is related to how much benefit is necessary for an average patient to accept the therapy. And again, I also believe this gets to age-related issues, is that what I've not seen him or Eric Weiner, who's done something similar, and others, the Australia-New Zealand group has done something similar, I haven't seen them break it into age. And one might think that perhaps a 50-year-old might value a 5% benefit more than a 90-year-old. I don't know that that's true, and that's always a risky assumption. For example, when we first got into breast preservation, we assumed that a 30-year-old would care more about breast preservation than a 60-year-old. As I near 60, I don't feel that way anymore, and we have studies that show that's not true. So part of it is, I think, perception, according to age, of how much benefit it takes for you to say, I will take chemotherapy. And the third part related to age, I think, are the potential toxicities. And it's been hard to pin down. Several people have tried to look at this over the last 30 years, but dose for dose, for example, is Azithromycin more likely to cause heart failure in an 80-year-old than it is in a 50-year-old? The MD Anderson people have published that that's not the case, but that's when they very carefully selected who got the chemotherapy, and this goes into comorbidity. And so, again, I think this is where we have to allow doctors to be doctors, but I think if you've got a patient who has a history of heart failure, you're not going to give her Azithromycin. Likewise, a patient that has peripheral neuropathy from diabetes, again, arguably more common in a 60-year-old than a 30-year-old, you're probably not going to give her a taxane that causes neuropathy and so on and so forth. So While there's no a priori because you're 80, toxicity will be worse, there are additional comorbidities that add in to when you're 80 that I think will cloud the discussion in terms of the absolute benefits.